Please take your Bibles and let us stand as we turn to the book of Colossians, chapter 3. We're going to be reading verses 15 through 17 today. Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks
be to God. During World War II, as things were going badly in Germany, Adolf Hitler began to look around for a group to blame all of his problems on. And he fell upon the Jews. They were already a hated minority in Germany, and he began to persecute them and arrest them and have them thrown into concentration camps and have them experimented on by his medical doctors. A number of Christians sought to assist Jews to flee from German-occupied territory, and these Christians found themselves, as they did so, in great danger. Corrie Ten Boom and her family did that. They sought to assist Jews to escape, and eventually their family was caught, and they themselves were put in a concentration camp. Corrie and her sister Betsy ended up in barracks number 28, which had a rather interesting characteristic. It was infested with fleas. Now, I don't know if you've ever had fleas get on you or all over you, but it certainly is not a pleasant experience, and these ladies in Barracks 28 were being bitten by the fleas, and they were just plain miserable because of this. And then one evening, as she was praying, Corey's sister Betsy thanked God for the fleas. Corey thought that her sister was a little bit crazy. But as they began to look at the situation, they discovered one very important fact, and that was that the German soldiers would enter all the other women's barracks and molest the women who were there, but they would not come into Barracks 28 because of the fleas. And also because of the fleas, the women in Barracks 28 were allowed to study God's Word and to worship Him without any interruption from their captors. Thank God for fleas. God expects us to give thanksgiving to Him. Let the peace of God rule in your heart, Paul says, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. It's a command from God. And be thankful. God expects thankfulness out of us. He desires thankfulness from us. And Corey's sister Betsy had a true attitude of thankfulness. She was able to thank God for something that others would never have thought to thank God for something that others would have considered to be a curse and a plague. She thanked God for fleas. And yet God sent those fleas for that purpose, that these women would be left alone, that they would be protected, and that they would be able to worship Him. True thankfulness is indeed a grace of God. The words in the Bible, thanksgiving and thanks, are related to a term that means well-favored, and it refers to being grateful for someone or something that has been given to you. And so the one to whom you are to be thankful is the God of the Bible. He has given everything to you. He is the one who is responsible for all of your gifts and for all of your graces. And He is the one even who gives you the gift and the grace of thankfulness itself. And thankfulness comes from peace with God. But what is peace with God? Well, first of all, it's the peace with God that comes about because the perfect work of the Lord Jesus Christ has reconciled you to God. Christ has provided exactly what is necessary. He has provided the obedience that God requires of man, and He has offered Himself as a sacrifice for sins upon the cross. And therefore, His work is perfect and is complete, and it brings peace. You started out by birth in your depravity, being an enemy of God. And Christ has brought about now a situation of peace with God instead. And then, as a result of that peace with God, now you have peace that is a form of contentment and rest within. It's peace that comes as a result of having peace with God. You're no longer at war with Him. You're no longer at enmity with God. Now you are God's friend. Now you are God's child through Christ. And now you can be at rest and you can be content in God through Christ. And so there's inner peace. So you have peace from God and with God because of Christ. And you're to let this peace, as Paul says here, rule in your heart. The term rule means this peace of God is to be the umpire of your life. It's to call the shots. God's peace is to be in charge of your life. It's to call the shots in your life. It's to be the ruler, the guiding principle, the umpire of the decisions that you make. The peace of God. This peace is tied to love. And the two are called the bond of perfection between God and man. Between you and your Christian brother and sister as well. So when the peace of God rules in your hearts in this way, it leads you to have unity with one another in the body of Christ. Because we're all called to be members of one another. We're all placed in the same body within the church, and we're placed in that body where the peace of God is supposed to be ruling among us. The peace of God, the peace with fellow Christians, is not an option. It's a calling, and it's issued by God Himself. Peace produces thankfulness. And thankfulness promotes the peace within the body. You're grateful for all the gifts and all the blessings that God has given, and because you're grateful, you're less likely to begrudge someone for the talents or gifts that God has given to him. You all ought to be very thankful that nobody's ever going to turn me loose on this instrument over here. Because if I sat down at that piano bench and tried to play, I could empty this building like that. I do not have any gifts. There are several folks in this room that have gifts and can sit down at a piano and can play and can enable us to worship God through music that is accompanied by the piano. I can't do that. That's not my calling. That's not my gift. And for me to attempt to do that would be wrong, because I cannot do that. Some of you sitting here probably would not be able to stand behind this pulpit and speak to a crowd either. And yet God has given me that gift. I'm able to do that only by His grace. Public speaking, incidentally, is one of the three things that people are really, really afraid of. Public speaking, spiders, and heights. Those three things, I think, are the big three that people fear. Public speaking is right up there. Now, it doesn't mean that sometimes you don't get afraid when you speak in public. There's a difference between speaking to 20 people and speaking to 2,000, and God has given me the opportunity to do that, and I have to admit I had butterflies in my stomach doing so. But God has given me the gift to be able to do that, and I thank Him for that. Others would be terrified to attempt to do that. God gives different gifts. God gives different graces. And we ought to thank one another that there are people that God has placed in our congregation that can play the piano. There are people that God has placed here who can lead singing. There are people that God has placed here who can teach and who can preach. God gives those gifts, and we should not begrudge someone because God has given him or her that particular gift and that particular calling. But rather we should be thankful and grateful that God has put us all together in this way. So we're to thank Him. We're to thank Him for the peace that He gives us so freely in Christ. He's brought that peace about by the gift of His own Son. He has provided Christ for us, and therefore Christ is the one who has brought us together in Him. We have peace within the body of Christ, and all sinful divisions and all corruptions ought to be cast aside because of who Christ is. And we thank Him for that. We thank Him that peace and not hatred reigns in our hearts because of this perfect work that Jesus has done. You see, God expects Christians to be thankful. And God even warns us and tells us that lack of thankfulness is evidence of lack of salvation. In Romans chapter 1, as the Apostle Paul is talking about people who have turned their backs on God, who want nothing to do with God, he says this, although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful. And so lack of thankfulness, lack of thanksgiving, is an indication of lack of salvation, lack of knowledge of God. Thanksgiving is also an expressed grace. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Thanksgiving comes from the word of Christ. Just as peace, the peace of God, rules in your heart, so the word of God is to dwell in or among you in a rich way. And this word of Christ is not some mystical feeling. That's not what he's getting at. He's talking about the objective word of God. He's talking about the scriptures. He's talking about the Bible. He's talking about the things that are taught by God here. All of these things. The gospel message. All of this is to rule in and dwell in and among you. Now, Paul was concerned in Colossians with the effects of the grace of God within the body of believers. And so he's probably, when he talks about the Word of Christ dwelling among Christians, he's probably referring to the gospel. He's telling us that the Word of God, the Word of Christ, dwelling in each and every individual, therefore dwells in all of us together. It's among us. All together. It's to dwell richly in. It's to control every thought, every word, and every deed of each and every individual Christian so that all together this thanksgiving can govern all of our actions among ourselves. As the gospel dwells in you, it's going to produce godly results in your daily life. It's going to give you spiritual wisdom. Now please remember, wisdom is not just knowing facts. You can answer every single Bible question in jeopardy and still go to hell. It's not just facts. It's the ability. Wisdom is the ability to apply what you know from the Word of God to everyday living. That's what true wisdom happens to be. And so, you're able to understand and act upon God's revealed will for decision-making every day in your life. That's what actual wisdom is. And so this godly wisdom enables you to teach one another. It's a word that means you are equipped to be able to give instruction to others in godly living. You ought to be able to go to other Christians in this congregation when you have a problem and say, here's what's troubling me, and these other Christians that you approach ought to be able to say, well, let's see what God says about this and open the Scriptures and lead you to an understanding of what God teaches about your problem that you're facing right then. That's godly teaching for godly living. And you ought to be able to admonish one another. It's a word that means to lovingly confront someone with the Holy Scriptures so as to bring about a change in his life for his good and for the glory of God. We're not talking about taking the Bible and beating somebody over the head with it. We're talking about taking the Bible and opening it and showing that person what God has to say and confronting his sin and leading him gently or perhaps sometimes firmly to understand his need to trust in Christ and to turn from sin and to be sanctified and to change for the glory of God. You're also to sing with a thankful spirit in your heart. The word grace is found here. But in the context, what Paul is talking about is having this thankful spirit, a spirit of grace with which you sing to God. It's an expression of the thankfulness that's in your heart as you sing to the Lord. And Paul says, sing to Him psalms. Those are the Old Testament psalms. Hymns, such things as New Testament songs that are written to the glory of God and of Christ. Luke chapter 1 contains two hymns that we sing in church. One's called the Magnificat and the other the Benedictus. And those are two things that are just names that have been given to them, but they're hymns to the glory of God. And spiritual songs, other songs from inside and outside the Bible. Such things, for example, as Revelation chapter 5 and chapter 14, the song of Moses, or the new song, and the song of Moses and the Lamb in Revelation chapter 15. William Hendrickson, who's a very godly, well, he's gone to be with the Lord now, but a man who wrote a very godly series of New Testament Bible commentaries, said this about Colossians, about this passage. He said, it's been said that next to Scripture itself, a good Psalter hymnal is the richest foundation or fountain of edification. Not only are its songs a source of daily nourishment in the church, but they also serve as a very effective vehicle for the outpouring of confession of sin, gratitude, spiritual joy, rapture. Whether sung in the regular worship service on the Lord's Day, at a midweek meeting, in social gatherings, in connection with family worship, at a festive occasion, or privately, they are a tonic for the soul and promote the glory of God. And so, Hendrickson is presenting the old Puritan view of singing, which was that we ought to always, whether it's publicly or privately, we ought to always sing to the glory of God and thank Him in all that we sing. Thanksgiving is also an enthusiastic grace. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. What's the chief end of man? Well, I'm going to throw you a curve. The larger catechism says that the chief and highest end of man is to glorify God and fully to enjoy Him forever. Very close to the shorter catechism. Just added a couple of words there. Well, that's larger, not shorter. But it says the same thing. We're to rejoice in God. We're to enjoy God forever. The joy of the Lord is part of giving thanks. So, no matter what you do, whether it's words that you say or deeds that you do, you are to do all, to do everything for the glory of God. Be able to do anything to the glory of God, you've got to do it, obviously, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, what this means is simply that every thought that you think, every word that you speak, and every deed that you do ought to be captive to Christ and made to serve and glorify Him. That's how you do it with thanksgiving in your heart. Paul doesn't mention in this passage thoughts. He mentions words and deeds. But back in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, he mentions thoughts there. He says, casting down all arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Every thought you think, every word you speak is to honor Him. Every deed you do is to bring praise to the Savior's name. And so, ask yourself this question. Is this thought that I have just had something I can thank God for? Is this word I have just spoken something that brings praise to His name? Is this deed that I have just done something that honors Christ, my King? Does the peace of God rule in your heart today? Are you at peace with God through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? That's the only way. I know that there are some folks that out in the world who think that there are other ways to have peace with God, but there is no other way. Christ and Christ alone is the Savior. Christ and Christ alone brings this peace with God. And if you have peace with God, are you at peace with fellow Christians through Christ? You're supposed to be. If you're at peace with God and other people are at peace with God, you ought to be at peace with one another as well. That's part of being in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to be at peace with Him and we ought to be at peace with one another. Then thank God if you are. Thank God for that peace that you have with Him. Thank God for that peace you have with fellow Christians. Does the Word of God dwell in you today? Are you rich in wisdom for daily living? Are you constantly, when you're facing any type of question or problem or trial or tribulation, are you constantly going to the Word of God and saying, what does God say to me in the Word of God about this particular issue? And you will find that either directly in black and white or by precept and example, you have the answer to the things that you face on a daily basis. The Bible makes you rich in wisdom for daily living. Are you able to teach others the way of truth? When others in this congregation come to you and ask for help, are you able to lead them to what the Bible has to say about the truth of God regarding their question, their problem, their situation? Are you able lovingly to confront a fellow believer over his sins and see change brought about in his life for the glory of God? Not just ignore that, let it go on, but rather bring the Word of God to bear with the idea in mind of seeking His change for God's glory. Are you able to sing with grace in your heart to God? And so is every word that you speak, every deed that you do, every thought that you have done in the name of your Savior and for His glory, then give thanks to Him. What do you have to be thankful for today? We just celebrated Thanksgiving this past week. What do you have to be thankful for? Some families have the tradition of going around the table and expressing their thanks for things that God has done, and often, because of the type of folks that we are, often the Thanksgiving is for blessings. God did this and I'm so glad. God did that. God gave me this. But are you like Corey Ten Boom's sister? Can you thank God for fleas? Can you thank God for the difficult things? Can you thank God for the things that others might seem to think are curses and yet are included in God's good plan for you? Thank you, Lord, for my Christian friends. Thank you, Lord, for my Christian friends who are really hard to get along with. Thank you, God, for this problem that I face at work, because I know that there is a reason for it that will bring honor to Your name as I act in a Christian way in the midst of this difficult situation. Thank you, God, for fleas, as well as for all of your other wonderful blessings. Give thanks to God for everything. Let's pray. Father, we rejoice and we thank you for all of your perfect blessings. Lord, we know that some of those are things that anyone would call a blessing, for you give us those abundantly, and we praise you for them. And Father, we confess sometimes we don't thank you enough for the wonderful blessings that come our way in Christ. But Father, we also confess that we don't thank you for the fleas. We don't thank you for the problems that we face. We don't thank you for those aspects of your providence that appear on the surface to be curses rather than blessings, and yet you have a good purpose in them, to sanctify us and to glorify your Son and your own name. Father, we thank you for those things. We ask that you would enable us to have that right attitude of thanksgiving, that whether the situation appears to us to be good or bad, we're willing to thank you for what we have been given, for what we face, and for the outcome. Thank you, Father. In Christ's name, amen.